C'est final.
Welcome to Rock and Roll Tennis, the number one tennis podcast in association with Golden Age of Tennis, with your host Keith Fraser. Yes, that's me. And my sidekick and former British number one, Mr. John Lloyd. So, welcome to another edition of Rock and Roll Tennis. Now, I've got some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Yeah, I thought you'd say that. The bad news. Yeah, well, the bad news is John's not here again. He's probably on a plane as we speak on his way back to sunny Florida. Well, let's face it, the weather hasn't been that great over the last few weeks, and he's probably lost his tan. He's no longer the bronze Adonis. He's becoming like me. Except he will probably be the albino Adonis, and I'm just the albino. But anyway, he's in Florida, so that's the bad news is he's not here today. I know you're thinking, again? Well, he is back next week, and we've got some great shows coming up in association with Golden Age of Tennis, the place to go for all your fantastic tennis gear, classic tennis gear at that. So you got me on my own again. Little bit of a Wimbledon review, little bit of news of what's to look forward to. So, of course, you've probably heard another few podcasts already from other people, not as good as ours, of course, but nevertheless, you've probably heard their Wimbledon reviews, so I'm not going to elaborate too much. I think it was a great tournament. But then again, we say that every year, it's a great tournament, isn't it? Been a great tournament. Well, let's face it, it's Wimbledon. Of course it's a great tournament. But was it that great? Because at the start of the tournament, everybody thought, well, who's going to beat Djokovic? Well, apart from me, that is, because I said the only person who has a chance to beat Djokovic is Carlos Alcaraz, who won the tournament, of course. Pat myself on the back. Sorry, I don't mean to stroke my ego, but it is true. I did say at the start of the tournament that I thought Alcaraz is the only man who can beat Djokovic, and he had a chance. I mean, let's face it, he won Queen's Club. He won Queen's, and let's face it, he hasn't had much experience on grass. But then, I would argue, in the 2000s, or where we are, 2023, you don't really need as much practice on grass as you would have done, say, 20, 30 years ago. Because the grass plays very similar. All right, I know it's not quite the same as playing on clay and playing on hard court. But it's not like it was 20, 30 years ago, where you come from the slow clay to the super quick grass. And that brings me on to this whole subject that rolls on and on and on and on and on, which is the GOAT, the greatest of all time argument. Yes, Djokovic has won the most amount of Grand Slams. Yes, I think he's been number one in the world longer than anyone else now. I still don't think he's the greatest of all time. In fact, Carlos Alcaraz has won two Grand Slams, and I've got to tell you, if he plays to the best of his ability, and let's face it, he's going to still improve. He's only 20. I think he's got more to his game than Novak Djokovic. You say in shock. Well, I do. I think he can volley better. I think his serve is certainly going to be better than Djokovic's, although Djokovic, since he's been training with Ivanišević, his serve has improved a lot over the last few years. So he certainly volleys better. His drop shots are insane. And of course, Djokovic has never been great, let's face it, for a man of his stature at the overhand smash. So, yeah, I mean, I don't like this GOAT argument, because if you take, like I said, the super quick grass of 20, 30 years ago, I don't think any of them would have been able to live with a certain Pete Sampras. Grass has changed. It's all a baseline game, pretty much. Although Carlos Alcaraz did come to the net a fair little bit. I just think the game is different today. And there are so many arguments, ifs and buts. So I don't think Djokovic is the GOAT. I think Federer is, but I just think that there are certain qualities that Alcaraz has, which is, as Federer said, and Djokovic, he's a mixture of the big three. And I tell you what, I don't want to say, oh, he's already the greatest player I've ever seen, but I must tell you this, he's got about as much variety to his game, if not more, than any of those three. Maybe not Federer. Let's face it, Federer can do everything. He could have. Underrated serve. Tremendous volleyer for his time. I'm not saying he was in the league of the bygone era, if you like. The Edbergs, the Pat Cashes, the Tim Henmans, the Pete Sampras. But he was a good volleyer. Let's face it, when he first won Wimbledon, he was coming from there a hell of a lot when he beat Philippoussis. But yeah, Wimbledon. So Alcaraz did it. And I did say he'd do it. Somebody said to me, who do you fancy for the final? This was the day before. I couldn't pick it, but I said to my friend, and if you're listening, Mark, yes, you, didn't I? I sent you a WhatsApp. I think I'm going to go with Alcaraz in five. And I got it right. So, yeah, not that I'm sort of showing off or anything. But was it the great Wimbledon that people say? Well, it was great to see young blood coming through. I think still, as I said last time, one of the stories of the tournament was Chris Eubanks. Great personality. At the start of the year, he was outside the top 100. He's now, as of this week, moved into 31st place in the rankings, 21 in the singles race, which is not bad, is it? And I asked him at the press conference. I said to him, Chris, a year ago, or a year and a half ago, I asked you, are we going to see it at Wimbledon? He said, well, that's my dream, is to play in the main draw. Well, not only did he play in the main draw, he got to the quarterfinals. And in that quarterfinals, well, in that quarterfinal against Daniil Medvedev, he was 2-1 up in the tiebreak, 6 points all, and he lost it. That was a shame. And I actually think, I may be wrong, but I think, and I will ask him when he comes on in the next few weeks, I will ask him, was there a part of him that had his mind already on the semi-final? Because he hadn't been in that position before, and it's very easy to get ahead of yourself. Or was he just tired, as my good buddy John says he thought he was, and he was commentating on that match for the BBC. It was a shame, because I really hoped to see him in the semi-finals. And I loved the way he plays. His shot-making was fantastic. I think he actually hit more winners than the majority of people in the whole tournament. Exciting. And he was coming to the net a lot. I like to see that. I like to see some variety in the game. He was attacking the net and with a lot of success. Anyway, I said to him in the press conference, you've come all the way to the quarterfinals. And when I saw you last time, you were hoping to make the main draw. Now what's your aim? And he said to me, look, I'm not looking for any specific aims. I just want to go with the flow, do my best, and see where it takes me. Well, that attitude is working for you, Chris. And we hope that you keep going from strength to strength, because you have been and are a breath of fresh air for the game and were for Wimbledon. Daniil Medvedev, I've got to tell you, I like him. I wanted Chris Eubanks to win that match, as did most people. But I think Medvedev, when you meet him, and I asked him in the press conference, I said, was the fact that you were not allowed to play last year giving you greater enthusiasm, more motivation to do well this year? He actually said no, that wasn't his motivation. He wanted to do well on grass this year, and he did. Semi-finalist. Now, I think that if Alcaraz is on form, fit, and improves, I can't see anyone touching him for a long time. Who's the other young blood? Who's behind him? Holger Rune? Yeah, he's there, but he's not. He's not at Alcaraz's level. Sinner, not at Alcaraz's level. Musetti, not at his level. Sepp Korda, no. So I think Alcaraz is out there on his own. I think he's out there on his own. Who's going to beat him? He goes into the US Open series as defending US Open champion. But of course, I think Medvedev will have something to say. I think if there's anybody who can do it, of course, he's done it before, is Daniil Medvedev. And he's a great guy. I have to say, he's a very likable guy. Very likable guy. And I even asked him, I said, do you like the grass now? He said, you know what? He admitted that he's getting used to it. So I hope that he goes from strength to strength as well, because Medvedev is one exciting player, but most of all is an exciting personality. We had two personalities in that quarterfinal in Medvedev and Eubanks. And whether you like it or not, it's not just about the tennis. It is about the personality that can transcend the sport. And I think Alcaraz has got that. But it's interesting. I just want to go on to a subject that I've had some debates on over the last, well, many years, actually. The men's final, 4 hours, 40 minutes. Yes, that's right, 280 minutes. The women's final a day earlier, 1 hour 20, 80 minutes. Which means the men played something like 3 or 3.5 times more tennis. And yet, they got the same check at the end of the day. Is that fair? This is not equal prize money. This is the women getting paid more. Is that fair? Well, it's definitely not fair. I don't think it's fair. Well done to the feminists and all the women who think that it should be equal pay, but it's not equal. It is unequal in favour of the women. And I'll tell you something else. Apparently, 3 times as many people tuned into the BBC to watch the final than they did. Sorry, 3 times as many people tuned in to watch the men's final as they did for the women's. So the popularity is not there either. And yet, they get the same paycheck. Now, it's funny, I had some debate with a certain friend of mine who said, well, Wimbledon is not like other sports because it's an event, a men's and women's competition. That is true. But then you have also men's doubles, women's doubles, mixed doubles, the wheelchair event, etc. Should the prize money be uniform across the board? Should the winner of the singles get the same as the winner of the doubles by the same token? Of course not. Why? Because it's about economics. The men's game earns a lot more in sponsorship, in popularity, and that's why, in my eyes, it should earn, or the men should earn more. And it's interesting, isn't it? There was a big row at Roland Garros because the evening matches were all male dominant. And here's the interesting thing. Who's the tournament director of Roland Garros? Amélie Mauresmo. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Amélie Mauresmo is the former French ladies tennis player, tournament director of Roland Garros, and she was putting the male-dominated matches for the evening matches on Chatrier Court. Doesn't that say it all? Doesn't that say we've got to do what the TV want? We've got to go where popularity takes us. It's economics. And so, therefore, I believe that the men should be earning more. But they're not. They're not even earning equal in the slams. They are earning less pro rata. Completely unfair. Call me misogynist, which I'm not, because I like watching women's tennis. I believe in women's right to earn equal pay in the workplace. But it is down to economics.
Hi, I'm not Samuel Jackson. But if I were, I would definitely want to appear in a movie wearing clothes from the golden age of tennis. I love their Sergio Tacchini, and I love their Fila too. And their new Magic Range is just sensational. www.goldenageoftennis.com. If there were an Oscar for cool tennis clothing, for on the court and off the court, and hell, there should be. These guys would definitely get my nomination.
People want to see the fittest. People want to see the strongest, the fastest, the most skillful. And I'm afraid to say, in tennis, as it is most sports, the men. Sorry, If you don't like that, tough. But that's my opinion. I know John actually disagrees with me to a significant extent. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the women's event. I was very disappointed, actually, that Ange Jabeur lost it. I think it got too much for her. She's now lost 3 Grand Slam finals. I remember when, I think, Andre Agassi lost 3 before he won his first. Andy Murray. Or did Andy Murray lose more? I can't actually remember. But there are a number of players who lost Grand Slam finals before finally breaking their duck. And I think she will win a Grand Slam, and I think the floodgates will open. I'm not saying she's going to win tons of slams, but she'll win a few. But what an opportunity and what an event it was for Vondrousova, because who predicted her to win it? I didn't see anybody or hear anybody make a prediction for her to win it. Most people said Sabalenka, Swiatek, Jabeur, possibly. But a certain Alina Svitolina, who I had the pleasure of meeting a year ago, beat Swiatek. She reached the semifinals. She also beat, I think, didn't she beat Azarenka? But of course, at the end of that match, like it happened at the French Open, she refused to shake hands. She refused to shake Azarenka's hand, as she refused at the French Open to shake Sabalenka's hand. Do I think that is out of order? Yes. Because it's not the girl's fault that their leader has instructed his military to attack another country. It's not her fault. Not their fault. In the same way as I don't believe that you should have white, this notion of no flags next to their names in white. What are you trying to say? Everybody knows that they're either from Russia or Belarus. What I don't see what the point is. It's not their fault, is it? Having said that, I have heard in the background there is some stuff going on in the changing room and there's a little bit of intimidation. I don't know if that's correct. And if it is, okay, I get it. But putting that aside, if that is not the case and it's purely for the fact that they come from countries that are supporting or attacking her country, do I think she should have been professional enough to shake their hand? Yes. You're a professional sportsman. You need to show a bit of... I think you just need to show the way. But then again, I don't come from a country that is under threat from war. Thankfully, it is perhaps more difficult for me to say. Anyway, it was a great Wimbledon, as it is every year. I'm not going to use the old cliche, wasn't it a great tournament? Yeah, it was. And it is every year. Well, that's my take on the Wimbledon Championships, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very quick, because I know you've probably heard umpteen podcasts over the last few days. But I also wanted to let you know that we've got a new series coming up. We've got some great guests. We've already recorded some of the content, and we are going to start next week with the world's number one tennis influencer. Now, you know, with me, I've always been rather critical of this whole terminology, influencer. They don't influence me, any of those people. But it was great to talk to her. She gets a lot of press coverage. And she is a proper player, proper tennis player, college player. Her name's Rachel Stuhlman. And we will be going out with a new series with her. And it's interesting. She's been in the paper, in the Sun Online, the Mail Online, umpteen times. And it was a pleasure speaking to her. So check out that, our first episode. We've got some good guests coming up, like I said. Hopefully the likes of Paul Anacone, Mats Wilander, Elaine Page, the singer who loves her tennis, Mike Reed, the former DJ, or actually present DJ, but former Radio 1 DJ, loves his tennis. Many, many more. I promise you, we've got some guests that we're targeting and we will get them on. Like I said, anything I've said, if you ever want to sort of contest it, ask me any questions, feel free to email me. I'm up for that. Keith@rockandrolltennis.com. And in addition to that, if there's anything you want us to cover on the podcast, anyone you want us to invite, feel free. I'm all ears. We are all ears. And Ladies and gentlemen, I will probably leave it there, I would say, because, look, you don't really want to hear me. I know you want John, the Bronze Adonis, Judge and Jury Lloyd. Well, he will be back next week. You will be pleased to hear. Anyway, I hope that I've done a reasonably good job in filling in. Very brief. Big thank you to our partner, the Golden Age of Tennis. Check out their website. And yes, we'll see you next week with a brand new series of Rock and Roll Tennis. The best, even if I say so myself, the best tennis podcast that there is. See you next week. Please remember to press that subscribe button and share with all your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter, RNR_tennis, and of course on Instagram, RockandRoll_tennis. And please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your comments. And in the meantime, do check out the best retro tennis clothing anywhere on the Golden Age of Tennis website, www.goldenageoftennis.com.